Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful me.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Trinity is from Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise, he is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Peace be within your walls, and security within your towers.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Christ Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as a testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Lord's Gospel.
Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory, to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
and of the Holy Spirit. It is important, dear friends, to understand that the Holy Gospel put before us this morning happened on Holy Tuesday, just a few days before Jesus would be crucified on Good Friday. Holy Tuesday is known as the day of great controversy and conflict, as it is filled with heated confrontations between Jesus and the Jewish religious leaders. Holy Tuesday is set up by the events of Holy Monday, for it was on that day that Jesus took a whip and cleansed the temple. The Jewish authorities were none too happy about that. And so when Jesus returns to Jerusalem on Holy Tuesday, they're ready for a fight. But so is Jesus. It's on Holy Tuesday that our Lord takes off the gloves, so to speak. The time for patient teaching is ended. It's time for a fight. And so, when the lawyer among the Pharisees approaches Jesus to test him, asking him what the great commandment in the law is, Jesus doesn't respond as he had in the past, putting the question back to the lawyer so that he might allow the lawyer to condemn himself and open the door to Jesus to teach him the folly of his ways. No, none of that today. It's Holy Tuesday. And the mission of Jesus on Holy Tuesday is to confront the Jewish authorities full bore so that they would be so overcome with anger and hatred toward him that they would let nothing stand in their way of putting him to death. Holy Tuesday is about Jesus making sure that Good Friday comes. But it's hard for us to picture Jesus in this kind of light, isn't it? We like to picture Jesus as the meek and mild teacher, the gentle and compassionate Savior who wouldn't harm a fly, and who loves everyone just as they are. We love the pictures of Jesus depicted as the Good Shepherd holding helpless lambs in his loving arms. We love to sing, "Jesus loves me," and "What a friend we have in Jesus," and other beloved hymns that give us warm fuzzies about our Savior. And to be sure, there's nothing wrong with those beloved hymns, and there's nothing wrong with picturing Jesus as meek and mild and gentle and compassionate. The pictures of him depicted as the Good Shepherd holding helpless lambs in his loving arms are beautiful and true. He does love us. The Bible does tell us so. And he is our friend, our greatest friend. The greatest friend we'll ever have. But Jesus is more than all that. He is God in the flesh. The same God who declares, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." The same God who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The same God who ordered Joshua to annihilate all the people living in the Promised Land. The same God who drowned Pharaoh's armies in the Red Sea. So it really shouldn't surprise us to see Jesus picking a fight with the Jewish authorities on Holy Tuesday. It shouldn't shock us to hear him go after them with a vengeance later that day, calling them hypocrites, a brood of vipers, and whitewashed tombs. It shouldn't upset us to hear of Jesus being filled with righteous anger and turning over the tables of the money changers and whipping them with a whip. None of that should surprise us or shock us, and yet it does. Repent. For truth be told, you are often guilty of the same kind of thinking that led to the demise of the Pharisees. The Pharisees treated the law of God as an achievable set of rules, rather than the unachievable perfect standard it is. And in so doing, they took the teeth out of the law and interpreted it in a way that enabled them to fulfill it and kept it from biting them. They turned the law into a set of least common denominators. So too, do you do this with the law of God when you think that doing your best is good enough in God's eyes? That's not to say that any of you here think you're perfect. I doubt that's the case with any of you. No, you readily admit that you're not perfect. But so did the Pharisees. Their problem was not that they thought they were perfect. Their problem was that they thought they were good enough and better than most. Truth be told, you have often thought that same way. And proof of that is in how often you compare yourself to others. I may not be perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as those people. So like the Pharisees, you make the wrong comparison. Rather than compare yourself to other sinners, compare yourself to the law of God, which requires perfect love of God and perfect love of neighbor. That's what Jesus reminds the Pharisees of on Holy Tuesday. He condemns them and all sinners, including you, simply by speaking the very words of his holy law, which they and you know full well. But there's also the other major problem of the Pharisees that Jesus addresses this day. They don't believe he's God. They don't believe that the man standing before them is the Almighty God and creator of all things. They think he's just a man. But Jesus sets the record straight, reminding them that David calls the Christ Lord, that is Yahweh, God. They are not testing and trying to trap a man, but God himself. The Pharisees thought they had tamed the law and made it their little pet, and they also believed that they could tame this man who stood before them and dared to condescend to them. But both the law and this man are not able to be tamed, for the law is God's perfect and holy will and command, and this man, well, he is the perfect and holy God and the source of that perfect and holy law. Those crazy and sinful Pharisees, huh? Well, before you pick up stones to cast at the Pharisees, consider what I was saying just a few minutes ago. How often you like to picture Jesus solely as the meek and mild and gentle and compassionate shepherd who loves everyone just how they are and wouldn't harm a fly. Repent. Jesus is not your buddy or pal. He is not your co-pilot. I hate that bumper sticker. He is not your homeboy. I hate those t-shirts. He is not your life coach or cheerleader. Dear friends, he is God incarnate, the same God who commands that you keep his holy law perfectly. Or else. C.S. Lewis got this right in his famous Narnia series, where he depicts Jesus as the lion named Aslan. Aslan is not a tame lion. You cannot approach Aslan as you would a kitten. Aslan is to be feared. Aslan is king. You do not approach Aslan frivolously, informally, or nonchalantly, but with due respect, reverence, and humility. At the same time, Aslan is good and merciful and loving and gracious. He does not desire to bite your head off, even though you deserve to have it bitten off. He desires instead, amazingly, remarkably, he desires instead to save you, to give his life in your place. But even after Aslan reveals his loving and gracious nature and his steadfast desire to save you, he remains the Almighty King to be feared, respected, and revered. He is not a tame lion, but he is good. That line at the end of the first account in the series of Narnia is great and deep theology, dear friends. For here is the mystery into which the holy angels long to look and ponder. The eternal Word of the Father, the very Son of God, the second person of the most holy Trinity, left his place of glory and came down from heaven to assume your human flesh. And all this so that he might fulfill the perfect demands of his holy law on behalf of all sinners and die on a cross to pay the price for all sin. David's son is David's Lord, who comes to take out the anger he displays toward the Jewish authorities on Holy Tuesday on himself. He comes to be condemned in their place and to suffer the eternal wrath and punishment they deserve for their sins. This is the most glorious good news for you who have been infected with the same disease of sin that plagued the Pharisees. You who, like them, have all too often tried to tame both the law and the Lion of Judah, who commands that the law be kept perfectly. Jesus has fulfilled what he has commanded of you. He has satisfied the eternal wrath and punishment you rightly confess that you deserve for your sins. He has shed his blood so that you might go free and live. In him, dear friends, you have forgiveness of all your sins, eternal life, and everlasting salvation. For in him, you do love God and neighbor perfectly, without fault, completely. In him, in Jesus Christ, you are perfect. Thus can St. Paul write to the sinners made saints in Corinth, which is also written to you sinners made saints in Alma. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Though your sins are many and great, you have been baptized into Christ Jesus and clothed in his perfect holiness and righteousness. Though you do not deserve it, you have been gifted with salvation. Though you have been unfaithful, God is faithful and has kept his promises to save you. And he will keep his promise to sustain you to the end, so that you who have been called into the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ, through repentance and faith, will be found guiltless when our Lord Jesus Christ returns in great glory on the last day. Indeed, he is keeping his promise to sustain you even right now through the holy absolution he pronounces to you here, through the holy preaching of his law and gospel to work in you repentance and faith, and most especially through the Holy Supper of Christ's very body and blood, with which you are fed the forgiveness, life, and salvation you need, the sustenance you need to make your way through the wilderness of this sinful world
until he calls you home to the promised land of his kingdom, which has no end. Thus do you do well to pray with the psalmist today and always. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
For God.
for the Holy Christian Church, the flock redeemed by Christ the Crucified, that God defend his own from every attack of Satan and the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithful proclaimers of the word of truth, that the good news of salvation in Christ may have free course and be preached to the joy and edification of the faithful, as well as those who do not know Christ, especially for Matthew, our synodical president, David, our district president, Michael, our circuit counselor, Thomas, our pastor, and for all faithful missionary endeavors, including Issues, etc., the Siberian Lutheran Mission Society, Lutherans in Africa, Lutheran Heritage Foundation, LCMS World Relief and Human Care, Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries, and University Lutheran Chapel, as well as our congregation here in Alma, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the homes in which our people dwell, that God strengthen the bonds of faithfulness between husbands and wives, and bless the children that he gives to them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation, that God grant safety from our enemies and unity of purpose. For our leaders, especially Barack, our president, and Rick, our governor, that they would serve humbly and honorably. And for all who serve in our armed forces, especially Gabriel Blair, Derek Brown, Just Dustin Majewski, Johnny Peace, and Christopher Shaw, that they would serve with integrity and honor. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and infirm and all those suffering in any way, especially for all those who have requested our prayers, including Ralph Bolt, Joan Birch, Marion Greening, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Donna Bebo, Charlotte Dargy, Mary Gerard, Bill Harmon, Ken Hill, Leroy Isaacson, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Jessica Updegraff, Scott McCollum, Joan Martins, Landon Cole, Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Doobie, Lloyd and Lyle Doobie, Maxine Cole, Phil Warsop, Lee G, Sherry Shaw, Joseph Tolk, Samantha Tolk, Elaine Wood, Leon McDonald, Jerry Howard, Pastor Dan Chambers, Robin Carter, Danielle West, Sally Sexton, Gian Weiser, Dan Freed, Chase Lessinger, and Winnie Curtis. That God heal them according to his good and gracious will, and strengthen them as they bear their infirmities with trust in his merciful goodness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the dying, that the Lord of life uphold them in the true faith. And for those who mourn, that in their time of sorrow they may cling to the promise of life everlasting in Christ Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to this holy altar this day, that they may come in repentance and faith to receive the benefits of forgiveness, life, and salvation delivered via the very body and blood of Jesus in this most holy meal, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have departed this life with faith in Christ, let us give thanks, and let us ask that we be brought with them to the joys of the resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering the sufferings and death of your beloved Son, we place our petitions at your throne of mercy, O God, trusting your promise to hear our prayers and grant us all that we need for this life and the life to come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Yeah.
very body of Christ, given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The very 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 body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. Amen. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.